I've mentioned before, we have had, turn to the book of James. We've had before, a birthday party for Jesus. We've done that different times in the past, and we'd have a birthday cake. Any occasion to have birthday cake, right? But no, we've done those things, and do different things, especially when the kids were younger, and it's like, I know there's those presents and things, but this is what, this is the idea here, keep those things, and so it's fun, and different ideas that we do to keep the main thing the main thing. Amen. And so James chapter 1, we begin. I want to just kind of get us caught back up here. Maybe a quick review, and then we'll jump in. James chapter 1, verse 26. He says, "If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world." Chapter 2, verse 1 says, "My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons." So, he begins to deal with this, and he goes, and of course we've talked about this before, the chapter breaks, or how we can find the addresses, right? How we can keep it organized. And so, but this is an epistle, and so this letter continues, and we see, I think sometimes we find that chapter breaks are at, subject breaks, but here it's continuing the same thought, and he goes from this thing about talking about a pure religion, talking about a undefiled religion, a religion that's undefiled there, is one that's, and he goes on here talking about that it's pure religion is no respecter of persons. And so he deals with this in a way. Listen, he says this. He says, don't have, in chapter 2 and verse 1, he says, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. Really, here's what he's saying. Christianity is not compatible with partiality. Okay, it's not a compatible way to have this life that we're going to say we're following Christ, but I'm going to have this spirit of partiality. By the way, partiality, and he deals with some of those things. We're going to look at some of those, but he deals with it. Sometimes, particularly, he uses this thing of the wealth, right? A wealth factor. An idea behind that wealth factor is this. We often want to help people that are going to help us, right? Not that we're intentionally bad people. But human nature is kind of has this idea that we're going to find the people that maybe are going to be a blessing back to me. And we sometimes just in fellowship of church, we want to talk to the people that we enjoy talking to. They're fun. They're funny. By the way, if people don't talk to you, be nicer. All right. People don't want to be around grumpy people. It's just the way it is. People don't want to be around grumpy people. And if, remember that, I say remember, maybe they still, Eeyore, I think it was it, that it's a Disney, what is it? What is that thing? It's like a donkey? Is it a donkey? I don't even remember. It's been a long time. But it would always kind of just walk around like long in the face, and it always kind of felt like this thing of pity, right? And, you kind of, listen, I think sometimes we're trying to get something from somebody that's like life is miserable, and folks are like, oh no, here they come. You know what I mean? If people avoid you on purpose, be nicer. Okay, there's that. So this thing of respect of persons, though, is this. Even people that aren't nice and aren't pleasant, sometimes what the Lord is talking about here is he went out of his way to reach them as well. Amen. Amen. And some of y'all need to do that too. Not me, but some of y'all need to do that. No, I'm kidding. He said, listen, these things aren't compatible. Christianity and being partial to certain people, it's not compatible. This respect of a person based on their status or based on their position is not the faith of Christ. You see, that's not how it's not how He wants us to behave, but it's more than that. When we trust Christ as our Savior, Jesus would often talk about, two things He would talk about is believe, and then the second thing He talked about is this. Jesus would talk about often about this thing, and He would say it this way, follow Me. Right? Follow Me. And this is really what Christianity is about, is following what Christ really represented to us in about 3 years. He spent about 3 years showing us everything about how to follow Him. And of course, we see the apostles followed that, and now they gave us an example to follow, and the Lord gave it to us in print so we can see what that looks like. The idea is about following Him, being what God wants us to be. And here's what He says. This thing here, with respect, you can't follow Me and be a respecter of persons. It's a big deal. This is a big deal to the Lord. We get that this morning? It's a big deal to the Lord. It's very important, because if we have that spirit in our heart, it affects how we're going to reach other people and how we're going to be a testimony of the Lord to other people. This thing of being a respecter of persons. So this passage was speaking to an issue. I mentioned these things last time. An issue that had happened in verse 2. He says, for if there come unto you and to your assembly a man with a gold ring and goodly apparel, and there come in also a poor man in vile raiment, and ye have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and say unto him, sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor, stand over thou there, or sit under my footstool. Are ye not then partial in yourself, and ye become judges of evil thoughts? So a partiality of men causes us to have evil thoughts, is what the Scripture says here. When we begin to say, yes, no, yeah, I want to spend time with them and not with them. And imagine having like maybe some kind of like Christmas party or something, and you only invite certain people. You know, like everybody's here and you're like, I'm going to give you an invitation. I'll give you one. Not you. I'm going to give you one. No. You know, and you go around. Wouldn't you be sitting there, you're like, and they pass you by, like, wouldn't that, I mean, or is this, you don't hear about it, and everybody's like, they're talking, they're all happy, having a good, yeah, we're going to this Christmas party over at the pastor's house tonight, it's going to be great, and so, I wasn't invited, and you're like, it's a private invitation only, do you know what I mean? It begins to cause us to have evil thoughts, because you say, well, that doesn't sound that evil. I just, you know, you don't have to invite everybody to everything. And that's true. You know, there's certain things. I don't really want to be invited to a Pampers Chef party. I don't know. They do serve food. Maybe I would. But the thing is, there's some things. But what I'm talking about, I'm trying to give some illustrations here to try to get us to think about this. When we begin to pick and choose, it causes something in our heart to begin to think that way. Who do I want to be a blessing to, and who do I want to not be a blessing to? You see what I'm saying? How do we choose in this? And he says, there's going down this thing, and it becomes this. And he said, listen, we begin to desire and to develop, rather, these evil thoughts, and this evil thinking is what was going on there. And so he said, he's trying to help us to think through life. How do we get through life and be like Christ? So the Lord's message to us in this passage is that being a respecter of persons begins in our heart and with how we think of others. So we have to change our thinking about people if we're going to be like Christ. Right? We have to change our thinking about how we think about people as a whole. Not like, oh man, I guess I'll start liking that person. You know what I mean? There's some people that just annoy you. You know what I mean? Hopefully I'm not that person yet. But there's some people that just kind of annoy you. And it's not like, oh, the pastor said I got to like them. You know, it doesn't mean like that. It's really more of how we address humanity. You know, and how we address it. We come to people and say, and we begin to think of them different. So, look here, I want to say this. Human nature is dumb. Look at verse 5. Hearken, my beloved brethren. Hath not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith, and heirs of the kingdom which he hath promised to them that love him? It's a question. That's what James is saying. Hasn't God chosen those that the poor of this world, but they're rich in faith? He has and heirs of the kingdom which he hath promised to them that love him. But look at verse 6. But ye have despised the poor. Do not rich men oppress you and draw you before the judgment seats? Do not they blaspheme that worthy name by the which ye are called? Listen, this is how dumb human nature can be. I'm not saying we're always dumb. I'm saying how human nature can be in this respect. We despise those that God chose. Right? He said he's chosen the poor, those that the unskilled, the unvaluable. He said God has chosen them. Here's the thing that God does. He says, if you take somebody that's already a pretty skilled, upright, wise, and all these kind of things, God uses them, who gets the glory? A lot of times that individual does. Right? But if God takes the knucklehead, right? Yeah. If God takes a knuckleheaded guy or woman or lady and or kid, you know, and uses them, and you're like, man, this, oh man, what? They hardly could put two sentences together. I can't tell you how many preachers I know of that that stutter. Some stuttered badly. And some I was in a church. We were as a missionary. We were in this church, and this pastor. When I watched him, first time we seen him preach, I thought, how can anybody? I mean, it was very distracting. I'm just gonna say, as our first time just there, and those folks loved their pastor, and this guy was such a powerful presence. He was. I found out later he was the college and career teacher at Southwest Baptist Church, which became Heartland Baptist College, and all those college students. And I thought, wow. What a difference. And God, when God uses someone like that, they're not saying, yeah, this guy has always been awesome. No, God chooses to do that so he can be glorified. Amen. Isn't that great? Isn't that great? And he said, but here's what happens. Here's what human nature does. Human nature despises what God has chosen. We want to take that person and say this. This is our nature. I'm not picking on any of you. It's me. We're all the same boat. If they were there, we're there too. We can be. Just because we can be doesn't mean we have to be. It means we're trying to be careful not to be there. Amen. And that's what this is about. And so sometimes teaching is negative in the sense of the Bible talks about the problems and. Doesn't mean we have all those problems. That means we need to be aware of falling into the same pit, right? And so what we find then is this this situation where God has chosen these the ones that we come in by human, by our nature, we assess people as soon as they come in the door. Oh. Or, oh. Right? We do that right away. We begin to assess people and we begin to think, wonder what, yeah, this is, man, we hope they come back. And then there's others you're like, I don't want to say I hope they don't come back, but if they didn't come back, I won't be mad. You know what I mean? And we kind of do that. Because, you know, some people, we look at them and we say, this person's going to be a lot of work. People are a lot of work. Y'all dealt with people? You know what I'm saying? Miss Katie, you dealt with some folks in the medical field. People are stubborn, right? I mean, still are, you know, I mean, there's different areas. People can be difficult. And then some are just so easy. You're like, man, I wish everyone was like that one. Right? Easy. But God says, listen, there's this different thing that comes in. And what our human nature wants to do is despise the one that God's going to choose. The ones that we want to put in a good place, and the ones that are the ones that the Bible tells us are the ones that will oppress us. Isn't it something? It's interesting. It's like we sometimes think we can outsmart God. God, this one, if they come in here, they're going to be a blessing to our church. And God's sitting over there, oh, I didn't think about that. Right? Or another one comes in and says, God, this, I don't have the patience for this one. God, could you send them down the road to somewhere else, Baptist church? You know what I mean? They'd be a blessing to them. God said, no, I brought them here. Brought them here. You're going to have to, you know, they're going to do something that's going to be a blessing. And you know what we want by nature? We want all of the sweet, beautiful, lovely, godly people to be come visit us and just come be, so we could all just, right? Amen. I'm saying we're all like, I want the people that are problem free and just a blessing to us, right? But God says, I'm going to choose some of those. Sometimes we want to elevate people that God said they're going to oppress us. You know, there's a philosophy or a thinking that says if we give them a position, or if we push them up, or if we elevate them, then they'll act that way. See, I've seen this in churches through the years that says, if this person, they're not very faithful, they don't hardly come to church that often, they you know, but man, they got potential. Maybe if we gave them a Sunday school class, they'd get faithful, and they'd really start to grow. I mean, you think about that, it's kind of odd, isn't it? So this terrible worker at, you know, stocking shelves, you know, they're terrible at it. Let's give them more hours. Right? You say it doesn't make sense anywhere else, does it? But we'll sometimes think if we can do that, and we think, or the person that kind of gives grief, that kind of really vies for a position, they want the place, and we're like, well, let's give them some so they'll leave me alone. Right? Here's what the Bible says. It James was dealing with people like you and I, struggling with the same fallen nature, this flesh that is drawn to sin. And so we're prone to this kind of thinking, right? So God used the poor, the unskilled, the unfavored, those that are only rich here, he says, rich in faith. Rich in faith. But the wealthy, skilled and favorable are the ones that some think will help the cause of Christ. I can't tell you how many people, yeah, if we just had a millionaire in this church, man. You know, I mean, some churches have money problems and they're thinking, you know, if we just had somebody that came in with their bankroll, we could reach the world for Christ. Actually, it's not we could reach the world for Christ. We could, things would be better, right? There's always something. If we had somebody that could do this, or we had somebody to do this, but it doesn't always work out that way, right? Instead of helping, they will cause hurt and pain. Look at verse 7. He says, do not they blaspheme that worthy name by the which ye are called? Listen, they will even despise the name of Christ, is what he's talking about. This respecter of person's strategy often ends up in disaster. Often ends up in disaster. And this is what the Lord is trying to get us across to us, this thing. Let's don't think like that. Let's don't think when somebody comes in, we decide if they're going to be a help or a hurt to us. Right? Let's just say God brought them here. Let's praise the Lord for that. Amen. Amen. Maybe God brought them here to fix some things wrong in your life. I hate that idea. You know what? You know, that's what's needed. God gives us what we need, not always what we want. But I'm telling you, if we get our heart changed, then we want what we need. Isn't that good? When we want what we need, God, this is coming, this is hurts, this is, thank you. That's hard. That's, you know, I'm working on getting there one day. You know what I mean? I want that thinking. I want that kind of thinking. So listen, he said, listen, that respect your person's strategy, it doesn't work. It often ends up in disaster. So let's don't do it. Amen. So look here. I want to look at the Old Testament's alternative. Verse 8. If ye fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well. Turn with me over to, keep your spot there because we'll probably come back there. But Leviticus. Let's turn over to Leviticus. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus in chapter 19. We often see, you know, as it says there in James, that if you fulfill the royal law according to the scripture. So when he says according to the scripture, it's really it's a reference to somewhere else. Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 15, he says this. He said, ye shall do no unrighteousness in judgment. Thou shalt not respect the person of the poor, nor honor the person of the mighty. But in righteousness shalt thou judge thy neighbor. Listen, this is not a New Testament idea of treating men equal. It's not a new thing. Right? This isn't the Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes, or this isn't some kind of new, you've heard it said this, but I'm saying this. He said, no, this has always been the case that we're not to treat one person one way and another the other way, but we're to judge them all righteously. What a time. Imagine in that time period, sometimes we've got to think about the time period of when it was written and what they were dealing with. In a day when you had no recourse. If somebody judged you unrighteously, you had no recourse. What do you do? There wasn't no, hey, I want to get a new case or this. No, you could be judged. And, of course, we still have some of that goes on today in our society, maybe even worse in coming up in these days. And so he said, listen, the way to avoid that is to get folks to realize, listen, if you're going to be right with God, you're going to start with right judgments first. Okay? If we'll start there, it'll actually, if the heart of the believer is changed, it'll save us a lot of trouble in our society, right? You see what I'm saying? If we're already getting that place. And so, listen, God has always intended for us to see all men as equally worthy of the salvation of Christ. And when I mean men, I mean mankind. Women too. All worthy of the salvation of Christ. But also equally worthy of our respect and dignity. I've taught through the years different teenage groups, youth groups. You know, I've been a youth pastor. I've taught youth classes and different things. And I always try to... One thing I would like to get across to them, if I can, is about being respectful. Right? We can't make... You say, well, they don't deserve respect. Well, there may be somebody that doesn't deserve respect. And that's true at times. Some people aren't very respectful. You know, they're not a very respectable person. They live very... But being respectful is about me. Right? Being respectful is about me. Being respectable is about you. But because somebody... Listen, I ought to be able to walk by somebody that's living in a ditch and say, hello, sir, how are you doing this morning? I ought to be able to be respectful to them no matter what situation. Because you know what? That represents me. When I was in the Air Force, we had this butter bar came in. Butter bar is a second lieutenant, which means he just joined, but he just joined as an officer. Worst of all people in the military. They are the worst because they come in. They went to college and they come in. They're a newbie, right? They call them a butter bar because it's a you know, like a gold bar there that one, you know, and they come in there, but they have authority as an officer. And if an officer tells an enlisted guy to jump, you have to jump. I hated those guys. Because they all of a sudden went in and they realized everywhere you walked, somebody would have to come up and salute you. Oh, man. And all of a sudden these guys are like, you know, I mean, it was quite the thing. And so I can remember this one, he was really being a jerk, and I was pretty new too, and it was just, and I didn't know how to deal with it, and I thought, man, he was making fun of me in front of others and saying, but I had to, if I mouthed off, I'm like, it's, you know, Article 15, I'm in trouble. You know what I'm saying? I can't just, you know, imagine somebody that you mouth off to them, you get put in jail. I mean, we're not there yet in our country. We're going to get there. But, and so I was, and I thought, you know, and he came up and I thought, I'm not going to say yes, sir, to him. I'd say, yes, lieutenant. That was my way of being. I'm not going to give him all the respect. Instead of saying, yes, sir, because, you know, yes, sir, it'd be, yes, lieutenant. You know, it sounds so petty, but it made me feel a little bit good because I was kind of, I'll tell you, through the years, the Lord used that thought in my mind. I thought, I wasn't lowering him. You know what I was doing? I was lowering me. You know, this thing of, listen, what we got to realize is all people, God intends for all people to receive respect and dignity from us. Because if we'll think of them like that, then we'll think of them all being able to be saved. Listen, this is where he wants us to be, in this place of thinking of people all equally worthy of him. Every person is worthy of the Lord. You say, what about this? There's no whatabouts. They all are equally worthy. Many don't choose them, but you know, I never want somebody not to come to Christ because of how I treated them. What a shame that would be. So if you want a religion that is pure and not vain, then we would do well to start in the heart. Start in the heart. Back there in James chapter 2, verse 8, he said this. He said, If you fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, then shalt thou love thy neighbor as thyself. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Ye do well. Loving others as much as you love yourself. So this isn't a way to think about how much you love someone. Because here's the truth. Some people don't love themselves very well. You know what I'm saying? Some people don't love, well, I'm just terrible, you know, and you know, listen, this isn't about how we, you know, it's not how much we love ourselves or how we love them, but it's about how we love others. What I mean is in this way, I want to treat others with as much grace and mercy as I want them to treat me with. You know, you ever had somebody do you wrong? What do you mean, this morning? Yeah. I mean, somebody, and then you find out, or they try to say, well, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to say it that way, or I didn't mean this, right? And then you say, well, it's not good enough. Right? It's not good enough. I want you to grovel and, you know, kiss my feet. I don't know what we, you know, sometimes we don't even know what we want. Here's what I'm saying here. Here's this thing about loving others. I would want them to give me as much grace. Or I should give them as much grace as I'd want them to give me. Because, you know, sometimes I might do something stupid like that. And I would say something and someone would get hurt. And I'm like, I didn't mean it. And they're like, no. And I'm like, can't you just, you know, so this thing of loving others, this royal law he's talking about, is this thing treating people with the same dignity and respect and mercy and grace, right, that you would want in return from them, right? Man, I'm going to tell you, if we would deal with people, one another like that, wow, you would reduce your stress level to not needing medication. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it would really get that thing, it would get that thing down there. if we will follow this royal law, we'll do well. We'll do well, is what he says here. This is not just a suggestive tool on how to have friends and influence people, right? That's not what this is talking about. It's not about how to have friends and this respect of persons. It's more than that. I want you to see here, and I'm not trying to. You know, sometimes I put a little humor in it to make it light and keep us caught together, and so we're on the same page. But I want to tell you what this is more than just saying. Yeah, don't be mean to people. It's more than just saying, hey, you know, treat them that way. This. You know, we can almost sometimes think the Bible is being very suggestive because it comes in a way of maybe some gentleness, right? Hey, I appreciate if you not do that. You know, I appreciate if you didn't talk to me that way. And you're like, he didn't really mean it, you know. And we do it anyway, right? And we kind of, and then the person says, will you stop it, right? And they get mad. You're like, whoa, all right, you're mad, right? Does the person need to lose their mind before we think it's serious? Right? See, God doesn't want to have to always bring the hammer. Right? He doesn't always want to bring the hammer to... we don't always need to use the sword. Sometimes we just use the scalpel. Right? And so listen, just because this comes in a way of like, hey, we see this, and we're talking about the poor under my foot. So, hey, would you go stand over there in a way that you're out of people's way and they don't have to smell you? Right? And the rich, hey, would you come up here? I want you to sit up front so everybody can see how beautiful you are. I want them to see your ring and your gay clothing. That's the Bible word, right? So watch. I want us to see something here, though. This is not just about how to be friendly. Look at verse 9. But if ye have respect to persons, ye commit what? Sin, and are convinced of the law as transgressors. Whew, that took a turn. You know, here's what he's saying. He said, listen, I'm trying to get you to understand that this isn't wrong, but I want you to get to really understand this is not just a bad behavior to the Lord. This is sin. The Bible here tells us here that this thinking, this behavior towards others, it's sin. It is sin. To prefer the rich to the poor, one man over another because of their status or position, it's sin. It makes us transgressors of the law. So I can't harbor that in my heart, that sin in my heart, I can still have a right relationship with God. By the way, you know, I'm not talking about salvation. I'm talking about having that right relationship with God. You see, I want to say, God, I want to be opposite of what you want me to be. Matter of fact, I'm going to go into something you said don't do. I'm going to do it anyway because I like it better. But I still want you to hear me and bless me. God said it doesn't work that way. We got to get that thing right. He said, listen, you ever felt like your prayers were hindered? You ever felt like, man, it just feels like it isn't getting past the ceiling? There's times in our life that we're harboring something in our heart. He said, listen, you know, forgive others that our Father, which is in heaven, might forgive us. There's connections here. There's a connection to how we live and how we behave and how we think affects our relationship with God. Amen? You see that? He said, this isn't just bad friendships and relationships. It's sin. It's sin. And the only thing to do with sin is repent of it. Except for there is another thing. First, we confess it. God, I've been doing this. And I just like some people better than others. Right? And maybe what I want to see, I think what the Lord wants to see, what James writing this letter to those believers at that time, and God wants us to have it today, is there's some areas in our life that we can slip into this kind of behavior and think it's okay. Well, everybody else does it. He says, listen here, this isn't just a bet, it is sin. It's sin. It makes us transgressors. So what are we doing? Don't do it! Amen. Okay, I'm going to be a better person. I'm just going to not do it. Well, listen, it is this thing to realize. Let's remember this way. Every person that we encounter in this life is someone that Jesus Christ came to this earth to die for. Every single person. Every single person. That person that just gets right up under your skin. You know what I mean? They just... You know the people that you're like, you make you want to roll your eyes spiritually? Because you don't, you as adults, we shouldn't be rolling our eyes, but you know, there's that, I'm going to do it without rolling my eyes. You know, sometimes we'll roll our whole head, you know? And that person, you know, when they're around and say, you know, he said, listen, here's what we got to do. We got to get to the place that says, Jesus loves them. They are a person, they're a soul that Jesus Christ came to die for. And if he's already came and they've already been saved. It's something God is trying to do a work in their life, and that's his creation. Let's not treat his creation. Let me put this another way. Let's treat God's creation like we'd want somebody to treat our kid. How about that? Put something that we can get a hold of. How you'd want them to treat your moms, treat your dad, your grandparents. Let's treat other people. It's interesting, later on in the book of 1 Timothy, the Bible is talking about how to deal with, 2 Timothy, how to deal with, for the pastor, how to deal with older women. Treat them as a sister. Older men, treat them as a father. You see, there's this relationship of saying, hey, we're going to treat, no matter where we're at, we're going to treat each other with the kind of dignity and morality and love that comes from what we would want. He said, listen, if we could get over that thing of being a respecter of persons, I'm telling you, it'll clear up a lot of issues. When I treat you like I'd want you to treat me, and you treat me like the way I want to treat, like you'd want me to treat you, man, I'm telling you, we'll stop a lot of the other problems that'll come in our life that we don't have to, we shouldn't be dealing with, that actually are distractions of us doing what God wants us to do. So listen, just this. Let's bring this to our attention. Let's treat each other, but also those in this world, those that come in this door, every single one that comes in here, like they're the same honored guest. What if we thought about someone that came in that door and thought, man, that's who God brought here for us to reach them for Jesus Christ. Every single person that comes, dirty, stanky, maybe a little bit strung out on drugs. Who knows what's going to come in that door? As long as they don't have guns, you know, pointed at us, you know, and they come in here, let's think, I don't care who it is, what age they are, what place they come from. God has brought them in here for us to love them because they're His. Let's treat them like that. Father, we're thankful for this passage, this book of James, and really this instruction. Lord, help us to be what we ought to be. Lord, I pray that you would take this truth, and Lord, you would Lord, burn it in my heart. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to remember these things and see the world around us, see souls like you see them. Lord, we wouldn't separate them in categories, but put them all into one place of your creation, one that you want to see saved. And Lord, help us to be what you want us to be, and we'll thank you for it now in Jesus' name. Amen.